and to guard. Watch and guard. But not only that, looking for the mercy of God, looking for God to intervene. And when you look for that, you look with expectation and joy. Amen. I don't want to leave this world as a miserable Christian. I don't want to leave this world not having kept myself in the love of God. Because I can't come back and redo it. I can't go to heaven and say, "Oh Lord, I wish I would have kept myself more in your unconditional love. Will you send me back?" This isn't a wonderful life, you know, with angel comes and all that. And we're not George Banks. Amen. So how does this happen? I always look in the Bible for a practical story to match the spiritual revelation of the Scripture. If I don't have a practical illustration, it's hard for me to relate a spiritual concept into my own personal life. And I want to talk about a man today that was tried probably more than anyone else in this capacity to keep himself in the love of God. That he was pulled so many ways that he could have got out of God's love. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 18. What does a spear have to do with keeping myself? We're going to talk about it. 1 Samuel 18, verse 5, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely." That's a whole sermon there. "And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the woman came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabors, with joy, and instruments of music. And the woman answered and said one to another, as they played, and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him." I bet it did. "And he said, 'They have ascribed unto David 10,000, and unto me they've ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more than the kingdom?'" Though this is, next verse is very crucial. "And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God," now I want you to know in the Hebrew it's a permissive tense, God permitted, "an evil spirit came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul threw the spear, for he said, 'I will smite David even to the wall with it.' And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul." I would like to say in my lifetime that I've never thrown spears at anyone, but I'd be a liar. I think if we're going to keep ourselves in the love of God, David gives us a real practical course. Number one, David kept himself in the love of God. David, by nature, was a warrior. David was mighty. David killed the giant. David could have killed King Saul very easily. And self-control, when you're in the midst of a heated situation, is actually the evidence of how much Christ has worked in us. David kept himself. Number one, he didn't pick up Saul's spear. I mean, this is the second time it's happened. Certainly, David, you could have picked it up. You had that right. You could have returned evil for evil, David. You could have returned insult for insult. But see, God saw that David, whose name means beloved of God, David made a choice to live in God's love. Many times we haven't really made that choice. When we get into heated things, it's hard to push that love out if I haven't lived that life. David didn't pick up his spear. Second thing, David didn't get his own spear. David didn't get his own spear and become a master at throwing it. Saul was a master at it. You know, the Bible talks about there are words that are like the piercing of a sword. And sometimes people, they don't realize it, but their words are so piercing. It's like you don't want to be around him. And David loved King Saul. We know he loved King Saul because when he died, if you read the poetry that David wrote about Saul and Jonathan, he starts out about Saul and Jonathan were lovely in their lives. Saul was crowned with glory. Saul killed his enemies. He had no bitterness. We live in a day when people are bitter. And they're throwing spears. Don't pick up someone else's spear. See, I cannot throw spears and keep myself in the love of God at the same time. It's totally impossible. Third thing, David, he kept himself in the love of God. The Bible says when Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. David just wasn't chosen because God didn't have anybody. I have found David, a man who, after my unconditional love heart, that he'll be powerful, but David has made a choice that reflects the Son of God, unconditional love. He wasn't chosen because he was more talented than someone. He wasn't chosen because he could just slay a giant. He wasn't chosen because he was anointed. Listen, he was chosen before he was anointed. It was his heart. What does a spear have to do with keeping myself? Everything. Let's move on. Let's talk about Saul a moment. Now, if we don't understand this, we probably will miss the point with Saul. God chose Saul. Samuel said, God chose you. He actually hid because he was kind of shy at first. God anointed him and appointed him. There was a time when God used him mightily, but he didn't keep himself. He killed many thousands, the Bible says, Saul slain his thousands. He actually gathered all of the tribes together. He didn't do it very gracefully. He cut up an animal and sent it to all the tribes and say, if you don't come together and have this big meeting, I'm going to cut up all your animals. They came. It was kind of a little mean. He started to get off there. But Saul wouldn't keep himself in the most important thing in life. Can I tell you this? There is nothing more important in your life and my life than to keep ourselves in the love of God. There's nothing more important than to live there. Four things why Saul didn't keep himself. Number one, the Bible says he was wroth. Anger, anger, anger. Be angry and sin not. We sin with anger when we pick up a spear to throw it at somebody. That's sin. It's sin when I talk about somebody. That's a spear. It's sin when I gossip. That's a spear. It's sin when I talk about somebody and hurt their reputation. That's a spear. That's Saul. And you know what I've learned in my 40-some years as a Christian? All of us have a Saul and a David in us. The Saul is the carnal part of us, the fleshly part. And you know, if you have two dogs and they're going to fight, the one that gets fed is the one that's going to win. And if we feed our carnal nature with negativity, Don't be surprised all of a sudden you're in a conversation with somebody and you throw a spear. Yeah, I've heard about them. I can't believe that's a spear from Saul, not from David. Love covers his brother. I'm never called to expose anyone's nakedness. I'm never called to expose anybody's weakness. I'm not called to give my opinion on somebody's spirituality. Many times we are throwing spears of opinion towards someone, and that's Saul. And the problem is, I can't be Saul and David at the same time. He was very wroth. You know, watch our anger, don't we? Second thing, Saul said the saying displeased him. I realized the stronghold of jealousy and envy are tied to my spear throwing. I've realized over the years that jealousy and envy is such a deep root, even in believers sometimes. I've seen it all. But the reality is that shows me I'm not in the love of God. I'm not walking in it. And then it says, number three, Saul eyed David. Wow. Here was David, came up because the king was having problems, depression. And so here comes David. He comes up, he begins to praise God, and the demon left Saul. But Saul eyed him and said, I'm going to kill him. Saul, the reason you couldn't accept the fact that David slayed 10,000 and you 1,000, it's because you weren't walking in the love of God. If you would have kept yourself in the love of God, Saul's attitude would have been, thank God there's a young man that's able to carry on what I started. Thank God he's raised up someone who can kill 10,000 demons. I might only do 1,000, but thank God. David, what can I help you? Do you realize that Saul could have helped David prepare for the throne? He could have, if he would have been in the love of God and not turned from God, how he could have equipped him even more. There's always somebody that's slain more than you and me. There's always someone who can preach better, prophesy better, etc., etc., ad infinitum. But the reality is, if we've not got done, if we're not over the competitive spiritual spirit, all I'll do is throw spears to try to tear someone. Listen, you never get your own furniture by tearing someone else's apart. Third thing, Saul became an expert spear thrower. Oof. Right in the gut. Yeah, come by, David. You're a threat to me. And I'm going to get you this time. I'm going to get you this time. Because it's my kingdom, David. It's my throne. How dare you come in here, David? Because I know your heart. Just like his brother Eliab said, as David went up to slay the giant, Eliab had his spear right there. He said, I know the naughtiness of your heart. You've come to see the battle. Shoom, tried to take him out. And David said, huh? Oh, that's me adding that. Huh? And he said these words that echoed through eternity and should echo today. Is there not a cause? Not my cause. Is there not a cause, church? If I'm throwing spears, I don't have God's cause. And he won't use me to defeat anything. Eliab's never heard from again. David never promoted him to a prince when he became king. He could have. I'm here to let you know that our promotion from God will stop if I don't stop throwing spears. God's looking for a David, not a Saul. Now turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. I love this. Wherefore, my beloved, he's so gracious, isn't he? The guy's been beat up, left for dead. He says, my beloved. He's not bitter. He's not throwing spears. If anybody could have thrown spears at Rome and at the cruelty, but he didn't. Because God kept him in the love of God. That's why he wrote 1 Corinthians 13. He could not have wrote that if he had not kept himself in that. Wherefore, my beloved, as you always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. When have we heard that preached? Well, Pastor, that was for back then. No, it wasn't. It's for now. How many are working out their salvation with fear and trembling? What does that mean? Fear of the Lord, of course, we know that. But how about this fear? That I might have wasted a lot of my life throwing spears instead of proclaiming Christ. That when I stand and all of the books are opened, I might not have that reward I thought I was going to have. That my works will be burned up. And what I thought was God was just nothing but me with spiritual ambition. Trembling. Trembling before a holy God in a reverence that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart are acceptable to God. You can't stop Sauls from throwing spears, but we can avoid and we can keep ourselves in God's love. Then he goes, for it's God that works in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure. Why does God have to work in us to will? Because we're rebellious by nature. And we can be stubborn by nature. I've dealt with my own rebellion, my own stubbornness, my independence for years. And I'm like the gladiator movie. He takes that rock and he scrapes off who he used to be. I've had to scrape the rebellious nature out of my life. Even as God used me through the years, I'd still have to scrape it. I'd have to scrape my stubbornness, and it would come out in my marriage, in my independence. You see, working out my salvation is realizing until I step over the river, I've not arrived yet. And I can't afford to hang around people that love throwing spears, and they're experts at it. I mean, you're around them, and in 5 minutes, they're throwing spears at somebody. Watch out. Not going to do it. My life's too precious. Go throw spears. Start a spear-throwing club. But I want to show the love of God. I want to keep myself. For it's God that works to make us willing to do. I was rebellious before I became Christ, with Christ. I was rebellious in school with my parents. When I got saved, God changed me, but I had to work on not being independent. Then he goes, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst. Now he describes the spear-throwing atmosphere in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That word is ethnos, races, all the people of the earth. We live in a crooked and perverse world. Among whom you shine as lights, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Amen. How are we going to do this, Pastor? Well, let me just say this. We're all in the same boat. I'm amazed sometimes at my age and my spirituality, so to speak, at how I can just simply be impatient. which is opposite of the love of God. I'm simply amazed sometimes at my opinions and my judgments, and I know. But I've been so convicted, as Pastor Deb mentioned that word, you don't hear that much preached, but anyway, Holy Spirit's still convicting us, that I'm done throwing spears. I'm not called to that. So I'm going to begin to close with how Paul kept himself in the love of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. I love this. Love this. I love the word. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, that's a pretty strong thing to say, isn't it? If I keep myself in the love of God, and nobody's going to steal that from me. Nothing can separate it. Not even a spear. Not even saying to somebody, to you, well, it took me a while to stomach you. Or, you know, you've been mislabeled and misjudged. When I was in high school having 5 and 6 seizures a month, in the classroom, I could describe the back of an ambulance. I know everything is. I remember walking home one time with my twin brother, and he goes, you know, some of the guys on the basketball team, you know, we look to think you're retarded because of the sickness. You know, I was never the same when he said that. All the other things that happened to me. It was a spear that pierced my soul. How about you? There's been things said to you over the years. Sometimes parents, fathers, sometimes you don't amount to anything. You idiot. They don't mean it. I guess they don't. How about maybe you were married before and your ex said cruel things, spears? People at work. Spears can literally take you out. Can God find a church, a people that won't pick them up at work, no matter how you're treated? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Do you know that David went through all of those? He was chased like a partridge, the Bible says. He lived in a cave. He experienced all those. So did Paul. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That is written in the Psalms. But you know what Paul says? This is interesting. He didn't agree that we're going to end up like sheep slaughtered. That's talking about people that don't know God. He said, no. Your translation, nay. He said, nay, no. I'm not, no. It's a very strong Greek word, no. I mean, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to be slaughtered because I'm keeping myself in the love of God and nothing can touch me there. That's what he's trying to say in this verse here, starting it off. The love of God is the thing that keeps me from being slaughtered. Even if my life is taken, I'm not going to be slaughtered. You can't get to the real me. This is a shell we wear. The real person is inside the image of God. And it is written, no. Then he goes, no. And all these things were more than conquerors through him that what? Loved us. Love's the key. The conquering is not just shouting, I have the victory, or just shouting, thank God for that. The conquering is I'm keeping myself in God's love. That's where I really win. I don't win when I pick up spears. No matter how spiritual I think I am or anointed, blah, 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 whatever. If I pick a spear up, I've lost in life. I'll have a lousy marriage. I'll have lousy relationships. At the job, I'll complain. Whatever. I've lost the fight, the battle, if I pick up a spear. In God's eyes, I'm not a David. I'm a Saul. Oh, he loves me. I'll probably still make it to heaven if I don't backslide and turn my back on him. Paul said, no. His love. The moment you and I came to the altar, you felt his love like you never felt before. And you can still have that when you seek him with all of your heart. And then he said this, for I'm persuaded. See, our problem is we're not persuaded yet that love is the pathway all the time. Sometimes I got to pick up that spear. I'm not persuaded yet. Sometimes I've got to give my opinion. Sometimes I've got to talk about that person. I'm not persuaded. I mean, you could go to work and everybody at work's got a spear. They're all shine. It's very easy sometimes in that thing to bring your own spear. Yeah, this is what I think too. Yeah, I heard this about him. I mean, what I've heard more. Wow, yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wasn't that a great service on Sunday? Praise the Lord. God says, you're acting like Saul. That when Samuel came and he was supposed to kill the Amalekites, Samuel said, what meaneth the bleeding of the sheep, Saul? Oh, Samuel, would you worship with me in front of the people? Hallelujah. God goes, I'm not, if I was God, I'd go, huh? What? You're not keeping yourself in the love of God. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, see, David was persuaded. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. I love this next verse. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. What did Jude say? Keep yourself in the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He showed what it was. He never picked up a spear. As they blindfolded him and slapped him and hit him. Who hit you, Jesus? Can you imagine being blindfolded and being hit from the right or the left or up and down and not even being prepared to see the hit? He didn't pick up his spear. He's our example, isn't he? Is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You might not have brought your spear to church. It might be in your car. It might be in your closet. It might be at your workspace. Until I don't pick my spear up when others take theirs out, I'm not walking in the love of God. I've got to pass the test. I've had to pass it. I've had to take my spear and break it. Because someone's anointed doesn't mean that they're walking in the love of God. Saul was anointed, and he prophesied when he was backslidden. He was already chasing David, and Samuel came, and he prophesied all night long under the anointing. So I respect the anointing, but that's not the only thing. God's interested in character in people's lives. You and I have to choose who we're going to hang around. I'm not going to hang around spear throwers. I'll love you, try to help you. I don't hang around people that tolerate me. I only hang around people that celebrate me because they're celebrating the Christ. Because, see, I had a vision one time. I saw this tombstone that said William F. Smalt, 1956 to 1976. And if Christ hadn't come, I'd be 6 foot in the ground. I'm a dead man walking.
Oh, yeah.
Just didn't decide to become a Christian. So to me, I might have started out with a lot of Saul's tendencies, but I've chosen that when I leave, I'm going to have David's heart. Let's keep ourselves in the love of God. Where's your spear? Where is it? Oh, I don't have one. Come on. Let's be honest. You were just in a fight this week with your husband and wife. You just threw one the other week when someone brought somebody's name up, you gave your opinion. Come on, let's just be honest. God sees us differently than we see ourselves, doesn't he? Two places in the Bible I have found David, man after my own heart, Acts 13:22 and 1 Samuel chapter 15. I want you to be honest with me today, and you don't have to raise your hand, but you're going to think about some of these things, about the spears, if they're hidden. Words can be like the piercing of a sword. You know, have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and all of a sudden you talk and all of a sudden they just wham, and you're just like, gosh. And maybe I've done that to others. I encourage you to come out to the marriage seminar because one of the things we want to talk about, along with Jimmy Evans, I want to talk about how not to wound your mate. And if it happens, how to apply Balm of Gilead. It's pretty much impossible to live with somebody without once in a while saying something or displaying something that hurts them. Hurt has to be processed. It's just like a couple of weeks ago, we went to Virginia Beach. I think the only time we went the whole summer. And, I sat there in the sun for 3 hours. I figure it was October. You know, I didn't have any sunblock on. But I just sat there, and I had my feet crossed, you know, basically the whole time. And so, you know, when I got home, it's like my whole leg from my ankle up to my knee, because I had my legs crossed, was sunburned. I mean, it was not pleasant. I was thinking, in October, the sun can still burn you. We want to be a congregation that has destroyed our spears. You can get around other believers. They can throw spears and things. Not going to do it. God would rather have 12 people in the heart of David than 5,000 in a congregation with spears. That's how he is. That's how he works. I'm going to be honest with me today, and you want to find that spear, and if you do, don't be too hard on yourself. Know that all of us struggle. Paul said, the thing that I would do is the thing I don't do. The thing that I hate is what I do. Who's going to deliver me from this? A perfect man bridles his tongue. A perfect man doesn't pick the spear up, but he commits his soul to him that judges righteously. So Jude said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy. Aren't you glad God's merciful? It's amazing how God will still use us, and we still have spears somewhere, but the day will come when God will not use us anymore. He'll replace us with a David, because it's his kingdom. If you're watching this morning, and you don't know our Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never accepted him, or maybe you're away from him, away from his house and him, I'd like to pray with you today. We are living in such crucial times. The coming of Jesus is soon. If you don't know that you know that you know that you're right with God, I'd like you to pray this with me. Just close your eyes and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all sin. I believe you died for me. and rose the third day. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for saving me. In the name of Jesus, amen. And if you prayed that, please visit our website, rockchurchofpetersburg.org. We'd love to talk to you. And maybe you're watching today, and maybe you can relate a little bit to the spear throwing. There's times you just, it's hard not to take that spear and jab someone's reputation. It's hard not to throw spears when those around you are expert spear throwers. But as a believer today, the Word has convicted you and you want to change. Go back and find that spear and destroy it. Because God will not allow Saul to reign. God will put up, but he'll take down till he finds a David. So if you're watching, just ask him right now to do that. Thank you for watching. May God bless you today. May you prosper in his presence. May his peace and joy follow you. Amen. God bless you.